good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a game.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Wakunjahadi is my real name, and my ancestors will be calling me by that when I come home. We do news all over Turtle Island. We do Native-centric news, and this is where you hear Native news, where you don't hear it anywhere else. As you all know, Native issues are human issues. And human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. The phone number is 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Give them a call.
Yeah, we'll have a new signal for them to call out. Hey,
Actually why I got tongue twisted, because right. I thought I was supposed to start it today.
That's my bad. How do you say my bad? The kids say that.
Yeah.
But hey, why don't we start off right away with Ogama. I had this a great interview with Winona, who just got out of jail for 3 days. So why
Winona
don't we
LaDuke.
Right? Why don't we take a listen to Ogama's interview with Winona LaDuke today of Honor the Earth?
Bonjour, Anine Ogama. How are you doing?
You know, I'm doing all right. Probably a little bit better than those up on the front lines right now. How are you doing, Winona?
Good. You know, 3 days in jail in northern Minnesota. I was arrested, as you may know, with six other sisters and mostly elder women. And we were arrested on the Shell River, where Enbridge wants to cross it five times, in the largest area or the largest population of mussels in the upper Mississippi River, you know, this really precious, clean river. And so a bunch of us, you know, a few of us went and we stood there and we were arrested. And then we were sent to Wadena County. I spent two nights in Wadena County with my sisters, the Shell River Seven. And then I was transferred to Aiken County, where I had violating conditions of my release by once again facing Enbridge, and I spent a night in the Aiken County Jail. And apparently that's the Enbridge way, making sure that we're all in jail and they can continue stealing our water, our land, and our civil and constitutional rights. You know, someplace in there, you got to feel like super angry that, you know, people like us, grandmas, you know, aunties are getting arrested so that Tim Walz can get his kicks with the last tar sands pipeline. I mean, that's the thing, is that this is the last tar sands pipeline. You know, I mean, this is the most expensive, tar sands pipeline in history. And it's the end of the fossil fuel era. I mean, this last week we saw even Chevron and Royal Dutch Shell are looking at divesting of $12 billion worth of tar sands assets, right? And before that, the Saudi funds, you know, divested, and then the New York Pension Fund divested. I mean, everybody's leaving the tar sands. And so why does Walz want to, you know, just run over the Indian people and the water of northern Minnesota for a Canadian multinational that doesn't even cover the liability of their spills, you know?
Can you talk about the liability of their spills? You know, what kind of problems is Minnesota going to face from these spills? I know Enbridge has already had several reported. There's been one on the Willow River, and I believe two to three additional ones reported on the Mississippi River. You know, what's the long-term dangers here?
I mean, just first of all, just starting out, you know, this frack out spill, you know, the MPCA, you know, originally said it was non-toxic, but that they confirmed now that the frack out spill contains hazardous combustible additive plus two additional, you know, contains all of that. So Enbridge claimed that a small amount of drilling mud had reached the surface in the HDD, that's the horizontal directional drill. But the MPCA, you know, initially said it was non-toxic, but it's Polysect Power Pack manufactured by Halliburton, and it has 6,100% polysaccharide from combustible dust concentrations, and it's not supposed to get in the water. You know, so they've got, you know, and I don't know if you saw the footage, but you know, they're sweeping the upper Mississippi with some brooms. And, you know, you really got to suck that stuff out of there. And for those of us on the Shell River with the single largest clam population, the last thing you need is a bunch of bentonite and toxins at the bottom of a pristine river system. And, you know, for those of us who are water protectors, I was in the Willow River at the time of the frack out or just right after the frack out. I saw that stuff, you know, and as I stood there in the river, DNR was not interested in the frack out. They were interested in arresting me. It's really just disturbing that people like me got to go to jail, you know, to protect our water. So it's so egregious. And as far as their liability, look, Enbridge has 225 subsidiaries. And those subsidiaries are who own these pipelines. They're not owned by the mothership in Canada where the liability, where the money is. The money's in Calgary, but the liability's in the United States. And just to like really clarify this, Line 3, most of it's not even going into the United States. It's a Canadian pipeline going back to Canada through the Straits of Mackinac. And we're bearing all the liability and all the human rights violations. You know, the other thing that is so wrong really about this is the 5 billion gallons of water in the worst drought in history.
You know, the other thing to consider here too is that, you know, the DNR in Minnesota is part of the reason why Enbridge has this permit. It's actually the entire reason why Enbridge has this permit for the 5 billion gallons of water. My understanding is that the environmental impact statement that Enbridge had submitted, that the PUC and the MPCA and even the Biden administration had said was sufficient and backed the Line 3 pipeline, has now essentially been made null and void because the DNR permitted them to raise their water permit by 10 times. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. The environmental impact statement said 630 million gallons, I think, of water. And 10 times that, pretty much, the 5 billion gallons of water wasn't in the environmental impact statement. And the Minnesota DNR knew in before they issued the permits that Enbridge needed more water. And they received that application in November, approved the permits for 630 million gallons of water. And then Enbridge formally applied for the addendum and so for $150. That's how much it costs to just amend it. For $150, they got 5 billion gallons of water. You know, that's a big loophole to walk through. And in the meantime, what we've seen is the Minnesota DNR has been entirely hand in hand with Enbridge. And, you know, so they knew about it. And then they knew about it in December. They didn't notify the tribes until May 14th. And on May 27th, they had a meeting with the tribes. And on June 4th, they issued a permit. At what point was there an assessment of the 5 billion gallons of water? And, you know, us on the Shell River, you know, we're looking at these little clams and mussels. And so I called DNR and I said, you're going to bake the mussels. You know, didn't we just see like a billion mussels and clams cook, you know, in British Columbia or what's called British Columbia? That's what they're going to do here, this river. They're going to cook those mussels. I called DNR. We begged them to send a malacologist up. Malacologist is someone who studies mussels. So initially the malacologist was going to come up on July 8th. And then they said a little bit later. And then I got a letter from DNR saying that it was not a priority and that they were not going to send a malacologist up to see the river that has 5 Enbridge lines in it, 62 well permits, and the largest mussel population in Minnesota and in the upper Mississippi River. They didn't want to do it. So the 1855 Treaty Authority hired a hydrologist from the University of Minnesota and hired a malacologist. We had to go hire people, hire agencies, hire experts to look at the situation because DNR, you know, has said that they weren't going to come look at this, at these mussels and what they're doing to them. Here we are, you know, 1855 Treaty Authority and Indigenous people having to hire experts because DNR is throwing the Shell River under the bus for Enbridge.
It's not just the Shell River, it's the Mississippi River, it's the Willow River, it's the 22 other rivers they're going to cross?
The HDDs, that's right. I'm so discouraged and disappointed in Tim Walz and the state of Minnesota for their lack of protecting of any of the wealth of the territory. And, you know, obviously the 1855 Treaty Authority should be managing the North because the DNR can't.
You know, what's next? What can really be done to stop this for Minnesota?
The Army Corps of Engineers needs to pull some permits. You know, they need a federal environmental impact statement. They need to look at the impact of the frack outs on the mussels. You know, women like me and tribal people and all across the north, there are 600 people that have been arrested so far, you know, trying to protect our water up here. And more will be arrested. And that's you know, that's wrong. That's all wrong.
Well, Winona, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me and to talk about these important issues. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, you know that there's the Lummi Nation is sending a totem pole that's going to Washington, D.C. And that totem pole is traveling across the country. And there's some runners from Standing Rock and they're coming to the Shell City Campground. They're coming on Sunday. And so if anybody wants to come up north and see the beautiful totem pole that is traveling to Washington, D.C., you know, come join us in the celebration of life and our culture and our rivers. Thanks for calling.
Yes, thank you, Winona McGuich.
Hey, that was Winona Duke of Honor the Earth. Great job, Ogama, on the interview. Up next, we have Kevin Abrask of Indians.com. We'll be right back.
Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit MN350.org.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
This is Winona Duke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
We are Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, we have the opportunity to have Kevin Abrask, a managing editor at Indians.com with a Z, and that's where we get a lot of our news. If we're not listening to Ogama, we're definitely going to Indians with a Z. .com and listening to them. Well, we are a nation and a race of emotions here. I mean, we have our own Standing Rock happening up here, and then all of a sudden we get good news, and we're going to be talking a little interesting good news with Kevin, and mm-hmm. I'm just really excited to have Kevin on. I'm about to unmute you and bring you on. Kevin, welcome, as always, to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
How duck happy. Chawashe and Nape choose it pillow. My name is Kevin Abresk, and I serve as managing editor for Indians.com. Thank you so much, Robert, Okama, and Wendy for having me on the show today. As you said, some good news, at least by way of Cleveland. Today on Twitter, the Cleveland Indians franchise announced that it had decided on a new name for its team. You might recall back in December, the franchise made the coin changing its names from the Indians to something else, and they hadn't really decided on what that something else would be. And this morning on Twitter, they announced that they would call themselves the Guardians. And in announcing this, the team said that the reason for this was to sort of pay kind of a popular sculpture there, this 43-foot sculpture that overlooks Hope Memorial Bridge in Cleveland, and it's called the Guardians of Traffic. And they felt like this was a good way to represent not only that sculpture, but sort of the role of the team in trying to bring hope to the community and serve, you know, to sort of guard the community in some ways. They made this change after interviewing something like 40,000 fans and a number of community leaders and, you know, also talking to a lot of Native leaders as well. The president of NCAI, National Congress of American Indians, Fawn Sharp, said today that, I'll just quote her, said, "With today's announcement, the Cleveland baseball team has taken another important step forward in healing the harms its former mascot long caused Native people, in particular Native youth. We call on the other professional sports teams and thousands of schools across the country that still cling to their antiquated Native-themed mascots to immediately follow suit." NCAI keeps a database, actually, of schools across the country, K-12 schools in particular, that have continued to cling to Native American-themed mascots. And by NCAI's count, there are still 1,879 schools, K-12 across America, that have Native American-themed mascots. You know, and the most popular by far is the Indians' mascot name. And then followed by that is the Warriors, and then the Braves, the Chiefs, and then finally Redskins, which, you know, kind of shocked me when I saw that, that there are something like 100 schools across the country that still call themselves the Redskins. You might remember back in July of last year, the Washington team announced that it also would be changing its name, but they haven't announced yet exactly what they would call it, as far as I know. So, yeah, this is good news, certainly, you know, as we see, and we've seen, I guess, from research that these Native American mascots have a very negative effect on you know, the self-esteem, the self-confidence, especially of our young people. Cheryl Crazy Bull today, she's president and CEO of the American Indian College Fund, had something to say about that. And she said, quote, "I know only too well what the research proves about the harm the imagery close does to them. By selecting a team name and image that reflects a city's shared values and celebrates all its citizens, the Cleveland Guardians have set a welcome and higher standard for how change can be managed by listening to all community members, including all voices in a shared vision, and helping a city and enterprise and citizens grow as they move forward." Cheryl as well called on other schools, other professional sports franchises to change their Native American themed mascots. I do want to note, too, though, that, you know, Susan Harjo, who was one of the lead proponents of changing the name of the Redskins, as well as the Indians, did offer, you know, just a little warning, I guess, or, you know, just said she saw a little bit of a red flag in the naming of the Cleveland team to the Guardians. She has expressed some concern that this name might sort of hearken to the name of another organization called the Native American Guardians Association, which apparently is a group that has held itself out to be a pro-mascot voice of Native peoples, opposed to the No Mascots movement. And this organization has actually tried to undermine the efforts of organizations like NCAI and Susan Harjo, as they've attempted to eliminate these Native-themed mascots across the country. So, I mean, that, you know, take that for what it's worth. You know, certainly the team itself says that they're naming themselves after this sculpture and, you know, just as a way to try to express sort of their mission, their hope for their team and for their community.
Well, Kevin, I was hoping that they would call them the Spiders again because I thought that was kind of a cool name. It was a pre-Indians. that would have been cool, but gosh, yeah. Now I'm thinking. And then also this great information you're giving us on over 1,000 schools still use that name. Is there any demographic that you could see in that list? Is it more Southern schools or it's just Wisconsin or everywhere?
You know, it's very spread out. And I know, you know, West Coast, East Coast, Southern, Northern. I didn't really look at it trying to figure out, you know, which part of the country has more of these mascots. I can certainly say in Nebraska here, this is an issue that we continue to fight. There was actually a report done in March of this year by the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. They had done a number of hearings here in Nebraska just trying to assess the impact of Native American-themed mascots within schools here in Nebraska and had come out with a report recommending the change of those mascots and recommending ways that the state could, you know, support that because there are a number of costs involved with obviously changing a mascot. And, you know, you're talking about changing uniforms and finding new logos and things like that. So, you know, they had recommended a number of ways that the state could help with that.
Hey, do you have the capacity, Kevin, to hang on for another segment? Maybe we can have a round table talk about this. And I know Lewis has he's TikTok famous, is going to pop up a couple TikToks that he does, and maybe we can comment on it because there's some really good talk going on about I'm wondering if the American Indian Movement's been working on this for so many years or was this a process, and I'd like to get into that and talk a little bit more on how this process went. Did it happen like the Redskin name, where the advertisers after George Floyd started drawing the line, or how this all came about? Do you have the capacity to do another a segment or so?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Wow, that's great. Wow. And then, Kevin, before we get going here, we got like 30 seconds before we get off. Can you tell everybody how they can see your content and a little bit about Indians.com?
Great. Yeah, so Indians.com, of course, our website is the best way to find our articles. That's Indians with a Z as in zebra. And you can also find us on Twitter, same handle, and on Instagram and on Facebook. Those are probably the best ways to reach us. You can find me on those mediums as well, except for I don't have my own website, I guess, but certainly on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You know, we have a weekly roundup we do on Clubhouse, which is an app on iPhones. And we also do a number of podcasts as well, including one called Reconciliation Rising. So please look for those on SoundCloud and iTunes.
Awesome. We're going to come back with Kevin Abaraska, Managing Editor at Indians.com, and we're going to add Lewis to the mix. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Want to save an extra $650 on your new appliances? Minnesota's Appliance Specialist will buy your replaced appliances for $50 each. The more you replace, the more you save. You get Warner Stellion's low price, $50 for your replaced appliance, free delivery from our trusted specialists, and 18 months no interest financing. Smart Minnesotans know this sale comes just once a year, and the savings are real. Get $50 for your trade-in for a limited time during Warner Stellion's trade-in sale.
COVID-19 vaccines are safe, effective, free, and approved for everyone over the age of 12. Need help getting a COVID-19 vaccine? Trusted community connectors can find vaccination sites, make appointments, answer questions, and provide interpretation. To learn more about scheduling a free appointment or find a community connector, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. That's ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
This is David from The David Pakman Show, where we expose the hatriots, liars, and Trumpists on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Now, more than ever, we are being faced daily with the topic of human mortality. And for many people, estate planning has been top of mind. Getting your estate planning done now can be easy and cost-effective. Shroman Law offers virtual options for initial consultations so that new clients can safely initiate the process. With many facing uncertain financial situations, Shroman Law also offers affordable fees for legal documents. Learn more at shromanlaw.com. That's shromenlaw.com.
We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Showers and thunderstorms expected overnight with a low of 73, then more hot sunshine on Saturday with a high of 93. With the poor air quality outside, have AirSeal Tech check your home's indoor air quality health. Call AirSeal Tech today at 612-888-3664. AirSeal Tech, Minnesota's premier insulation contractors.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Lupin Jahade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Great organization here in the Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. Wow, we have Kevin Abarask with us, managing editor at IndiansWithAZ.com. And we're going to do a little roundtable about what's happening in the baseball. But first, Kevin, I want to play Lewis's TikTok. Lewis, the Lakota guy, Lewis Eagle Thunder, is a new team member of ours along with Ogama and Wendy. And he's TikTok famous. And I asked him to play a couple of his TikToks that he ran this morning. So there'll be a couple minutes. And then I'd like to talk a little bit about your feelings now that we've talked a little bit about the news and maybe some more questions about what else is going on in Turtle Island. So go ahead, Lewis.
The Chief Wahoo is the tribe! That's our logo! So the heck with those haters!
The name of the Cleveland of the team is the Indians. It's not the Spiders, it's not the Blues.
I disagree. The name is actually going to be the Guardians, because Cleveland today has decided to choose a new name after 100 years. I give all the credit for this for all the indigenous activists through decades of hard work. The bigger issues out there that we're working on, but this is really important because it's about identity and the confidence and self-esteem of our children when they look at mascots. It's important for them to know that they deserve dignity. Congratulations to Cleveland and the entire organization.
Wow, great job. So, Kevin, well, before I get back and ask you this, my wife Wendy, who's my better half, or probably better three quarters, is from New York, and she went to St. John's. Go ahead, Wendy.
I went to
St.
John's University from 1991 to 1996 in pharmacy school there. And the basketball team at the time was called the Redmen. And they had a logo of an Indian warrior type of logo on all their uniforms and jackets and things. And they got rid of the logo in 1991. But in 1994, they got rid of the name, the Redmen. And I remember being a student there, and we had a vote on on what name we wanted, and it finally came down to a few, and it won the Red Storm. But even back then, you know, 1991 to 1996, we really thought that that was a very racist thing and that it should be changed, and we were all for it. So here we are in, you know, 2021, still fighting the fight.
Right, exactly. So, Kevin, do we know any was there pressure, or was this something that happened pre-George Floyd? Because I know they were talking about it, and they took Chief Wahoo off the logo. Do you know how this happened today?
Yeah, there certainly was a lot of pressure from organizations like National Congress of American Indians that changed the mascot campaign. I'm sure the American Indian movement, just a lot of different activists and efforts over the years. But, you know, I think a lot of it was just the times. And we're talking about, you know, this time in our history following the murder of George Floyd, when a lot of organizations are really taking a hard look at, you know, how they represent Native people through their branding. You know, of course, we saw the changing of the name of the I'm trying to think of that tub of butter that they used to make.
Oh, yeah. Land O'Lakes.
Native woman on it.
Land O'Lakes.
Land O'Lakes, of course.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's it feels like it's time, I think. And maybe some of these franchise owners needed that sort of public support, you know, in order to make these changes. Maybe they've wanted to make these changes for a while, but, you know, they were so afraid of pissing off their fan base that they didn't do that for many years. Now they feel like with this kind of social justice movement sweeping across America, it was a good time to finally make the changes. So,
yeah, I don't think you can say that word on the radio, Kevin. But Lewis, do you have any comment?
You know, this always harkens me back to the 1991 World Series. I went out there with my grandfather in the Metrodome. That's when the Minnesota Twins won their second, championship against the Atlanta Braves at the time. And I remember before that, you know, we had, protests against the Cleveland Indians when they'd show up at the Metrodome, the good old Metrodome before, you know, this giant stadium got built that it is today, and we just had hundreds and hundreds of people out there. You know, different organization have supported the name change, but I give a lot of the credit to a lot of our elders and a lot of those ones staying outside Cleveland Stadium time after time, you know, being yelled at, being spit on, you know, being called names and harassed, and taking all that and today, you know, today happening. So it's a cumulative effort, you know, and it's just one of these things that you know, a lot of these people didn't get to see today that were on the lines back in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, I agree, Kevin. There's been a lot of background work, Lewis, and you know, I can think of David Glass here in the Twin Cities has been working on through AIM for years on this campaign, and I know last time the Kansas City team was here, we had a big rally, and time is coming, and hopefully we see a change coming, Kevin.
Yeah, I'm pretty hopeful. I do think that there's been an awakening in this past year and beyond as well, but I do think people are finally starting to listen, and mm-hmm. I hope this lasts for a while. You know, you just never know. When we saw things like I was thinking of that movie, Dances with Wolves, and, you know, how cool it was to be Indian for a while after that movie came out. But that fades. That sort of feeling kind of fades. Society tends to forget, after a while, and stops being cool again to be Indian or support Indians. So
it's so funny that
we're here now, and I guess we just kind of ride it as long as it lasts.
Yeah, definitely. It's so funny that you brought that movie up, because Wendy and I just watched that again, and it's funny to have a 2021 perspective of it. It was more like Dancing with Kevin Costner by then. But at first, 30 years ago, it was like, yeah. And I think that opened up movies like people were bankable, like Smoke Signals, because that was pre-Smoke Signals.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, have you seen Rutherford Falls, Wendy? Have you seen that show at all on the Peacock Network?
No, I haven't. No,
you should check it out. You check it out. Bobby Wilson, who is a former Harding grad, or not a grad, but he went to Harding High School where I used to teach. He's one of the writers, and I don't know, it when I bring up Smoke Signals, it reminds me it has heart like that and also has a great message. I was really, really pleased to see that they were brought up, they were bought up for a second season. So everyone, including you, Kevin, check that out. It's free on Peak.
I have a quick question, if you don't mind. Does anyone know if the Cleveland Indians, now the Guardians, were they threatened by any large sponsors of leaving if they didn't change their name? Because wasn't there another big team that did change their name? But the reason why they finally did it was because they were going to lose like a really large sponsor.
Well, Nike was it Nike with the Washington team.
Oh, okay.
So, but I think Cleveland, because they were talking about, I think pre-murder of George Floyd, mm-hmm. they were talking about changing and starting to morph. I was surprised that Washington did, mm-hmm. but Cleveland, I think, was kind of on their way. They got
Washington did it because they were getting threatened to lose, millions of dollars from a sponsor. I was just wondering if Cleveland was threatened by that. No.
I don't know.
Okay.
Kevin, do you know?
Just wondering. Just out of curiosity.
No, I know that like the Kansas City Chiefs, they had some threats as well from sponsors mm-hmm. at one point. And so I'm not sure about the Indians.
I think we would be remiss not to bring up North Dakota's change in mascot, which was one of the first ones with the Fighting Sioux. You know, I mean, there was a lot of controversy around that one, especially for us Lakota Dakotas, right? People would always ask us, hey, what do you think about it? I'm like, I'm just here to watch hockey, buddy. You know, like, I don't want to talk to you about it. Again, you know, it's we talk about all this stuff, but, you know, big shout out to all activists. You know, I mean, we're in a time where we've never seen before with people going on the streets, you know, protesting, wanting justice. And this type of atmosphere leads to this. And exactly what Wendy said, you know, pressure on sponsors is big. You hit them on their wallet. And that's one thing that we've been able to do, you know, with the power of social media that we didn't have in like the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wow. Kevin, so have you heard much? We report almost daily on what's going on with Line 3 and Line 5 and things like that. And Winona LaDuke just got out of jail. I don't know if you heard a lot of the interview we had with her this morning. And It's same as it ever was now, too, in some respect, because some things, like here we go, we have our own Standing Rock here in northern Minnesota, Kevin.
Yes, I've certainly heard about that, and I've been meeting to head up that way myself, so hopefully within the next week or two I can make that trip. But, it's certainly something that I think the whole country should be watching and paying attention to. And, you know, I guess all we can do is you know, keep sending these messages out, these voices out, and hopefully people will start to listen the way they did at Standing Rock. But, sometimes it just takes time, and I guess other elements too. But,
well, Kevin, I want to just give a shout-out to you again. This is Kevin Abaraska, Managing Editor at Indians.com with a Z. Thank you so much for stopping in and checking out. And it's important for us here at Native Roots Radio to amplify a great warrior's voice like you and Indians.com. We really appreciate you stopping in.
I appreciate you having me on the show, Robert and Wendy and Ogama. Thank you so much.
All right. Hey, definitely. Wow. Lewis, it was great to have Kevin on here. We got a minute left here. Do you have any last thoughts here before we break for a commercial?
Yeah, I just want to remind everyone and all our allies, you know, in this era of tumult, you know, all these things happening in any country in indigenous activism, it's important to understand and focus that we're doing all this for our children. You know, our children, seventh generation, as we say in our indigenous communities, are what we're doing everything for. When we think about changing the mascot, we can laterally do the same thing like Protect Line 3. I think a lot of drawbacks, people are saying, oh, you know, we can only do one thing at a time. Or, you know, why are you talking about mascots? Well, we have Line 3 or other, you know, MMIW and all these other issues. We can do multiple things at once. And more importantly, we're doing it to restore dignity to our children so that when we bring children to ball games, when we bring children to sporting events, as indigenous people, we don't have to express and tell our children, you know, why these mascots still exist and try to come up with reasons why, you know, these teams don't care about our identity and who we are as people. We're doing it for the children, and that was our center on all of our activism, whether it be Line 3, Mascots, or MMIW.
Well said. Wow, we were really blessed to have you, Lewis, and it was great to have Kevin on today, Wendy, just to hear that great voice of what's going on. And, you know, it's just a privilege working on this show, Wendy.
Mm-hmm. It is, absolutely. And look up Indians.com. I get updates from them all the time also, Indians with a Z.
Yeah, definitely. Lewis, great job as always. And next up, we're going to talk, it's Fun Friday.
Fun Friday.
We miss State Senator Mary Kunis. Yeah, we miss State Senator Mary Kunis, but she's has a baby shower with her daughters having a baby, so we understand. Rubber band. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Stronghearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Stronghearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are the Lusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
That's funny. We heard Ogama.
Ogama in the background. That's so funny.
Hey, great job today, Ogama. Thank Pini Gigi.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. So yesterday I was, you know, I closed out the end of the show and I couldn't remember to say this portion of the show is brought to you by, like I had like a total brain freeze. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, we got the Howling for Wolves done and we got the howl done. So,
hey, Wendy, we were able to run over to that event.
Yeah.
We got free T-shirts. And, you know, I love free T-shirts. Mm-hmm, I like yours better than mine.
They had a good event over at the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis today where they were doing an event for vaccines, the Pfizer vaccine. And they were giving away like
food
and they had $25 gift cards to Target for filling out some, you know, surveys.
Right.
And it was really good. And they said that they were really happy about how many people showed up. And when we were there, we saw quite a bit of people there, you know, getting vaccinated. So it was really, that's awesome. It makes me so happy.
I saw a former student too. They did a little play on that, hadn't seen him in a couple of years because of COVID, but it was like, hey,
that
Indian kid looks familiar. And it was like, it is Cruz. He's taller or something. What the heck? But yeah, that was a good time. It's not time to be bored, though, Wendy. Okay. Wendy just yawned. I think she's getting tired. I'm the one that should be tired. I haven't taken my nap. But, hey, this is Fun Friday, so we're having fun here. Mm-hmm. Right, Lewis? And Wendy's got some fun facts that all three of us could comment on. So sure. Let's hear it, Wendy.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani, and that means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. And as always, Curtis, who is also known as Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for that name, as always. I am a Humane Policy Volunteer Leader, volunteer for the Humane Society of the United States. Yeah. And I work on animal issues at the local and state level. But
and this is, I'm going to say in my radio voice, mm-hmm. this is our sacred animal section of the show.
I really appreciate that we have a sacred animal section. So I think it was last Friday that I was talking about 13 fun wild horse facts. And there was an article here about Karina Brez has an article here about 13 wild horse facts dated March 22nd, 2021. And we didn't get through all 13 because, you know, there's just not enough time. But I figured I'd start off where we left off and talk about the wild horses. And the reason why I'm talking about the wild horses is because we've been talking a lot about the Onaquai horses in Utah. So that's why I wanted to do that. But anyway, I have number 8 here is wild horses have hooves that are remarkably sharp. They are. This is another difference between feral horses that do not have when compared to horses that are truly wild. Wild horses have very sharp hooves, which allow them to access food options when they are limited in grazing grounds, right? They can use their hooves to strip bark from trees, take down leaves from a branch, and some even dig so they can bring up roots. So that was interesting. I didn't know this. And this was number 7. I skipped this one. But let's go to number 7. All horses will eat a variety of different plants as a primary part of their diet. Hmm. This is because all horses are a grazing species. What makes truly wild horses unique is that they always will tend to favor one specific plant species over others during specific times throughout the year. They will gravitate towards their preferred plants, showing a distinct seasonal food preference. So in the winter, they probably eat some things, and in the summer, they eat some things.
The Rolling Stones' Wild Horses playing in the background.
Oh, that would be awesome. I love that.
Wild horses.
Number 9, wild horses have their metabolism slowed down during colder months.
Oh.
Wild horses go through a process called hypodermis during the winter months. This process causes their metabolism to slow down when it becomes colder outside, helping them to able to survive on lesser food supply. Then when the weather begins to warm up, once again, the food becomes more plentiful, their metabolism will begin to increase. Wild horses also consume water, but at less amounts compared to other horse breeds. A wild horse may drink as little as 3 liters of water per day. In comparison, a domesticated horse will consume at least 8 liters of water per day.
So hey, now this is Fun Fact Friday, and this is Wendy's talking about wild horses. Ogama has a quick question.
Yeah.
How do I get the winter slow down metabolism? I want that. Because in the winter, my metabolism doesn't slow down. I eat the same amount.
Yeah, but you know what? We're not out and about. We're sitting in front of the TV on the couch a lot more. So then we get like the, you know, the winter 15.
Oh.
So yeah, it should, right? Our metabolism should definitely slow down. Absolutely. Exactly. There was another one here that I thought really
While you're looking, I'll say,
yeah, go ahead.
This is the sacred animal portion of our show, and this is Fun Facts Friday. So there you go.
Yeah.
Wendy.
So here's one that I thought that was really interesting. Wild horses have mane, that is shorter than other horse breeds. Watching U.S. or Australian horses living in the wild conjures up a picture of long flowing mane being tousled by the wind. For horses that are truly wild, this is something that would never happen to them. This is because their mane is extremely short and upright in comparison with other horse breeds. To us, human haircuts is an example. The feral horse would have bangs with a long bob cut, and for wild horses, they would have a military-style flat top. But, you know, it's funny. I'm not really sure. You know, I keep going back and forth about these Onaquai horses. They call them wild, but some of their traits that I read about, they may just be feral, and I can't find any concrete evidence that says that they are totally wild, because if you remember last week when I talked about this, wild horses have a different amount of chromosomes in them than just a feral horse.
Weird.
Yeah. So wild horses have 66 chromosomes. So they're definitely a different, you know, breed of horse.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do a little bit more research on the Onaquai horses. And it might be that they're kind of like a hybrid between wild and feral horses. But yeah, we'll take a look and see about that. But
so
yeah.
Let me just ask Lewis here while we end the show one quick thing. Who has the most unique DNA of any person in the world?
The most unique DNA than anyone else in the world.
That'd be Native Americans.
That's a good question. Yeah, you'd probably say so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I did say so. Yeah. I don't think I made that up either.
And here's one last quick one. Wild horses are typically much smaller than other horse breeds, too. So they are smaller.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shunko Wakan. That's how you say horse in Lakota.
I love that.
Word of the day.
Say that one more time.
Shunko Wakan.
Nice. I like
Shunko Wakan. Hey, I would like to end with these thoughts. If you are listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, or run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I want to give a shout-out to Ogama, a shout-out to Winona LaDuc, Kevin Aberask, Lewis, and, of course, Wendy with our Fun Facts Sacred Animal section tonight. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop line three. Please get vaccinated.